I've been running in circles, jumping the hurdles, getting caught in that rush of doing so much. I'm feeling kind of worn out. All this checking the boxes, trying to be flawless, has me spinning my head, catching my breath, too afraid to slow down. I tell myself to keep this up, that God wants more than just my love. But I've been complicating things, it's just like me to overthink. Gotta keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring it.
Welcome to the Neighborly Love Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kashani. I'm so happy that you've decided to make time to listen today. I'm very grateful when someone decides to spend time with me. I do not take that for granted, so thank you from the bottom of my heart. This podcast was born out of my affection for two things: the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, and the entertainment of Jerry Seinfeld, and specifically his show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. So pretend that I'm in a virtual coffee shop with my neighbor, and we're just talking over a cup of coffee, just like Jerry does with his guest on his show. I aim to create a safe space to reveal the heart of my guest to love their neighbors. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we learn the answer to the question, and who is my neighbor? Simply stated, a neighbor is anyone who shows mercy towards someone. And to show mercy means to show compassion or forgiveness. That's what it means to be a neighbor. The story concludes with a command to go and do likewise. So that story makes me want to learn and teach what it means to love like a neighbor. It motivates me to go and do likewise. And it begs my question to you: won't you help me grow neighborly love? And to grow it, we need to emulate the behavior of the Good Samaritan. Our favorite neighbor, Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, extended an invitation to each of us in the spirit of that story. He continually asked, "Won't you be my neighbor?" And he created a television neighborhood. He would say things like, "Hello, neighbor, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood." He didn't call us boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, or even friends. He called us neighbors. One of my favorite quotes from Mr. Rogers is this: as human beings, our job in life is to help people realize how rare and valuable each one of us really is. That each of us has something that no one else has or ever will have, something inside that is unique to all time. It's our job to encourage each other to discover that uniqueness and to provide ways of developing its expression. Mr. Rogers called that our job in life. Isn't that interesting? This show is about our job in life. It's about helping and encouraging our neighbors to discover their uniqueness and value. It's about having mercy on them to encourage them to discover and develop that uniqueness. That's what it means to grow neighborly love. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts: Apple, Amazon, Google, and Spotify. You can also subscribe at my website, mindwolves.com. I'd be so grateful if you'd like it, rate it, and share it with others. My next guest is Umberto P. Fedeli. Umberto is the president and CEO of the Fedeli Group in Independence, Ohio. As I reflected on this 40th episode with him, the significance of the number 40 was not lost on me. First, the origin of the Fedeli Group, Umberto's namesake risk management and consulting firm, can be traced 40 years ago when Umberto became a partner in a firm that later became the Fedeli Group. Second, the number 40 holds great significance in biblical narratives. It appears numerous times in the Bible and represents a process of trial, correction, and growth, where faith is tested and spiritual awareness is deepened. Here are some relevant references. It rained for 40 days and nights in the book of Genesis, which led to the great flood, and the destruction of all life on earth except for those aboard the ark that Noah built. The Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness before entering the Promised Land. The giant warrior Goliath taunted the Israelites for 40 days before a young shepherd boy, David, defeated him with his slingshot and a single stone. King Saul, David, and Solomon each reigned for 40 years. And Jesus fasted and was tempted for 40 days in the desert before launching his ministry. In sum, the number 40 is associated with leadership, including all the ups and downs that come with it, and the need for divine guidance. And I cannot think of a better guest for the 40th episode of the Neighborly Love podcast than Umberto Fedeli. Umberto is very transparent and open about his faith, and I genuinely appreciate that about him. When he talks, he does so in a very warm, humble, and attractive manner. It's inviting and makes me want to lean into the conversation. You can tell that as he's led the Fedeli group for the past 40 years, he's leaned on his faith for divine guidance. He's a leader that people want to follow. Umberto's very involved with many civic, community, and charitable activities. He's a member of the board of directors of the Cleveland Clinic Foundation and serves as chairman of the Government and Community Relations Committee. Umberto and his wife, Mary Ellen, were awarded the Distinguished Fellow Award by the Cleveland Clinic. Additionally, Umberto is an honorary member of the Catholic Community Foundation of the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland, a Knight of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, and holds the Ellis Island Medal of Honor. Umberto has a strong sense of heritage and pride for his Italian roots. It was such an honor to have Umberto as my guest, and I hope you enjoy your time with him as much as I did. Please welcome to the podcast, Umberto Fedeli.
Umberto, thank you so much for making time for me. Ever since I invited you to do this and you accepted, I've been looking forward to this. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Mark.
So let's dive into question number one. And this is going to seem a little bit weird for someone like yourself, because I know you're in this habit of always thinking of other people. But if this question can maybe challenge you, maybe just to think of, again, something that's on your heart to reveal, there's probably a listener out there that you're going to reach with it. So tell us about a time when you did something nice for somebody else.
Well, I think, Mark, that every day you could see how you could touch lives. And I think every day when you meet people, I think it's important to find out what's important to them. And for somebody, maybe giving them a little bigger tip, you know, maybe a tip an extra $50 or $100 if it's a valet or a waitress. Another time is maybe sending a gift when someone's been ill. So I just got a call from a gentleman who is a very successful guy, thousands and thousands of employees, 97 years old, and got COVID and ended up at the Cleveland Clinic in the hospital for 3 weeks, very ill. Mm-hmm. So we just sent him a little Italian bear, saying our little friend wants to say hello, and a couple of little gifts, but it wasn't so much the gift. It's really letting him know that we thought about him. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that, you know, has his own Gulfstream 650, flies around the world, has multiple houses, does billions of dollars in business. Mm-hmm. The gift is really, in this case, when you're sick and you're ill and you're isolated, knowing that somebody just cares, somebody reached out, and the gift is not as important as the gesture. Mm-hmm. So in that case, a little stuffed animal, right?
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the gift.
The thought, it was thinking of him that meant so much to him.
I think so, because St. Francis once said that only through suffering do people learn compassion. And I remember in December of 20th, before vaccines were out, and I ended up with COVID, and I didn't think it was so bad the first 3 or 4 days. And then I ended up with 104.9 fever, and I didn't feel well, and I had no energy, no appetite. But the worst part was I was totally isolated, and all of a sudden thinking that nobody cares. And you see that in nursing homes. I've never been to a nursing home visiting someone, where it's ever been busy. Mm-hmm. And they're always saying, oh, the family's here, the family's there, they've been busy. They're forgotten. Mm-hmm. And they have broken hearts, and they're sad, and they're lonely. So I think when someone is ill or been sick or had major surgery, if it's a phone call, if it's a letter, if it's a note, if it's a card, if it's a teddy bear, that's just one example. Sometimes people are going through a breakup in a marriage, a tragedy with an illness, whatever it may be. I think it's ultimately trying to figure out what is important to that person, and, you know, and not about you, but it really, it's about them. And I think it has to be kind of a learned process. Mm. The Jesuits would call it men and women for others. Some call it servant leadership. In a book I read many years ago called Halftime, he used a line that I have stolen from him, or borrowed from him. Borrowed sounds better. You know, at what point do you go from success to significance? Mm. You could be very successful, but maybe significant is making that person feel special, wanted, not forgotten, cared about. At the end of the day, everybody's human. Mm. We all have challenges, faults, mistakes, good things that happen, bad things. We're all packages. Mm. So I think just reaching out, making someone feel special when they need it, not because you're doing it. I think sometimes what happens, people will do things because they want to be loved, mm-hmm. not because they want to love. And you got to make sure it's not about you, because then sometimes people are doing things where somebody does not want to be visited. That person wants to visit them. Somebody else does not want to feel like they're being obligated. And so, like, visiting somebody in the hospital, for some people, that'd be very touching. For other people, they don't want company at that time. So sending a little note and sending a little gift is not very invasive.
Yeah. What a wonderful answer. And I love the fact that what you essentially touched on was everyone's desire to know that someone out there is thinking of them and what it means to them to be thought of and to be remembered. Just a wonderful answer. So good segue to the second question too. And again, this is sort of a weird question for you, I think. But I'm really curious to hear your answer. So if you didn't have to worry about money, if it wasn't an issue, so what would you do for a living if money were not an issue for you?
Well, I feel like I kind of do that now. And I don't mean that with any arrogance or disrespectfulness. I do what I think I want to do. I start off every day realizing that I have way more than I deserve and more than I need. And the reason I do that is not to be arrogant, is to have a attitude of gratitude, to have a sense of humility, and realize that you should do the right thing for the right reason, because it's the right thing, not because you have to. So I don't have to go to work. I go to work because I like to interact with people. I like people. I like business. I like investments. Unfortunately, I don't like fishing. I've tried it a few times. I have no desire to be on a boat, fish, or be on the shore. I tried golf one time when I was 16 or 18 or 17. And I had no interest. I tried boating. I get seasick. Quite frankly, I had two friends that visited me in Naples, Florida for a long weekend. And we spent 3 hours at a shoe store, and we had more fun and laughed. And I think, quite frankly, if you're with the right people, then where you're at or what you're doing is kind of less important. Ultimately, to me, somebody that I met many years ago when I was in my 20s and had taken care of 50,000 children, said to me in a letter when he was 85 years old, he is long been gone, but he said that he had figured out in life what the secret of happiness was. And what he said is, in life, the secret of happiness is to love. Mm-hmm. And the essence of love is to serve. So ultimately, if you read the New Testament and get nothing else out of it other than one word, it's love. If you do all the extensive research I've done on happiness, I've shared some of the, you know, podcasts or videos that I've watched, ultimately it comes down to love. It comes down to the people. On a study that Harvard did with 8,500 people for decades, I think it's 80 years, who had the most fulfilling lives. And the one word that came out of that was the word relationships. So the people who had the best relationships had the most satisfied lives. But it comes down to basically faith, family, friends, and work. But in work, you had to earn success, according to Art Brooks, and also you had to be of service to others. If work is just work, then you're just going through the motions. But if you're playing the infinite game, an article I wrote several months back versus the finite game, that's just how you play. And sometimes people don't understand how I'm wired or how I'm built. If I'm working on a charity event, I play to win. But it isn't winning financially, and it isn't necessarily my ego, although, you know, because I'm human, I do have an ego and I'd like to succeed. But it's also of making a difference, saying that, you know, we really made a difference. And so if it's whatever we're doing, helping someone get a position, helping someone get into a hospital, helping someone's child, like, I don't like going through the motions and not having success. We call that intensity. And it isn't just playing with intensity, but it's getting results, because the process is great because it'll improve your chances for results. But if you're great at process and you don't get results, then what good is it? My father, sometimes I would say to him, Dad, he's a nice guy. And he'd say, nice for what? Maybe a little tough and a little cruel, and say, he's a good guy. And he said, good for what? But the message he was trying to teach me is that you have to have impact. You have to succeed in whatever you're trying to accomplish, so that you get something done, not just go through the motions. And often you go through the motions like, all right, I can check a box. Mm. But checking the box isn't having the difference. And people could tell when you have passion and you care about them. Even years ago, the great Zig Ziglar would say, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. So having knowledge and having success, but if they don't think you care about them and their interests, and I'm not any different in business or in civic or charitable or political or family. It's to me, it's all about, you know, the right way to be in this wonderful gift of life that we have.
Well, that's the one thing I must say, in the limited time that we've known each other, I've seen that in you, that you've always been about service. Even when you were just getting started, you know, came from very humble beginnings, but you've always seemed to be someone who was service driven of others. In fact, one of the things, now that we have a chance to work together, I love our why. We call that our why here at the Fidelity Group, to impact the lives of those we serve in business and in life. And that, what a wonderful purpose as a company to have. And that, I think, is a reflection of how you're wired.
Yeah, I think what happens, Mark, is that, you know, the why is really about the gentleman who gives the talk. What is his name? Very dynamic speaker.
Simon Sinek.
Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
But the why, and he's a great presenter and he's got some great material, but the why is what is your purpose? So let's start with the end first. I think often we don't know in our own personal lives, you know, what is your either special gift or what is your purpose, you know, and I think kind of understanding what your purpose is, easier said than done. We can help others do it. Sometimes looking internally is hard to figure that out because you don't necessarily get a letter or an email. But if you understand your purpose, then you can have more impact. And Mother Teresa, who is a hero of mine, you know, said, you know, people wait till they're rich or powerful or famous so they can have impact. And she says, we miss so many opportunities that every day we can do ordinary things in an extraordinary way. And that ability to interact with, you know, if it's the valet guy, if it's the waitress, if it's the receptionist, if it's the guy at the parking garage, if it's the guy on the turnpike, if it's the person in the store, you know, why not take that as an opportunity? We're talking seconds. We're talking, you know, very little extra time. I got a call last week from a gentleman that I've met twice in 40 or 50 years, and I thought he was calling for a favor, and he was calling me just to say thank you. He's now retiring. He made me sound like I made a big impact in his life, and I've only had two interactions with him. But in his mind, now that he's retiring, it stood out. Mm. And he said some nice things. And said there were two people that had that impact. It was myself and then our governor. Unfortunately, he got in a horrible accident. He didn't even know. He said he was in the hospital 2 months, and his wife said, no, you were there, it was over 3 months. Mm. But when you're in a coma, they didn't know if he's going to live, and he got run over by not only a vehicle, but a trailer. He's lost eyesight. He's got to be rehab. I reached out to the governor to let him know what happened, because he had worked with him when he was attorney general. And when he got a phone call from the governor, he called me, he almost cried. Mm-hmm. Because it meant a lot to him that the governor cared about him. He's retiring now. And he didn't want anything. I almost felt guilty, because I thought that 99% of our calls are typically favors charities, mm-hmm. politics. And he just called to say thank you. And it doesn't come from my faith. It doesn't come from my heritage. Mm. Doesn't come from our industry. It has nothing to do with any of that. And I didn't even realize I had impact. But I got stopped at a grocery store recently. I like to go occasionally. And some lady stops me and said, listen, you recently did a podcast. And somehow she had heard it, and she had said it to her children. And she went on and on in the grocery store of how there are so many lessons in there. And I said, yeah, the gentleman who interviewed me was able to get 40 years of, maybe 45 years of business experience in about an hour. He's a very talented guy. There I was doing it as a favor to the gentleman who asked me, because he's a young guy, but he had sent it out. He's got, I think, a following of 2,000 or 3,000 people. But if you make an impact on one person, made a difference. And so sometimes I have to remember that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get busy, and sometimes, you know, you get tired, or you get, you know, preoccupied. But I think sometimes I have to remember to live in the moment, because I'm always thinking about the future and then reflecting on the past, and I forget about be present now. And I need to learn that.
Well, I think at the root of your answer to this question is the fact that you're doing today really what you've always done. And that is think of others, have an awareness about you as you go about your day, thinking about other people and little things that might mean a big deal to them. Just thinking of those and sharing and not being afraid to share that.
Yeah, afraid is not a word that I live with. At least if you're afraid of the big boss, you don't have to worry about anybody else. But but I mean, I listened to a talk from Oprah Winfrey, who I've not had the opportunity to meet, but she had an audience of, I think, 20 million people. I think she interviewed 30 or 40,000 people. She never missed a day. But she became the most successful when she really realized she was having an impact on people's lives. Now, in her case, she was able to scale it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't one at a time. She was able to talk to tens of millions of people at one time. Mm-hmm. And so she's a remarkable lady. And you know, if I didn't spend that time to listen to that one interview, I may have had, you know, certain ideas and thinking. It was obvious why she's been as successful she was once I've listened to some of her commencement speeches and her talks and so forth. But we do learn from other people. And I think people come into your life at different times in different ways. But sometimes you have to realize it. They're there, but you also have to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And my wife and I talked about somebody that I got to meet in Alaska, I thought by accident. He gave a talk, and there were 1,500 people that showed up on the ship that we were on. And I'm on his board today. We've become very close friends. She goes, wasn't it amazing how we met him? I said, I met him when I was there, but I still needed to go up to him to say hello. I had to reach out to him to invite him to Cleveland, to come in from Alaska or Washington State where he lives. Mm-hmm. I got a call yesterday from a friend of mine teasing me. My friend Jim Caviezel is the actor, and he was, you know, he role plays, and you know, sometimes he plays a gangster collecting money in no time. He'll have an accent of somebody else that's something different. And sometimes I have to, because he's that good, and he's playing the role of whatever he's playing. But yesterday he called me from L.A. And we were talking about a mutual friend that I was together over the weekend, a gentleman who came in and did a show in Cleveland that I'm friends with. So sometimes people are in front of you, but you also have to do your part. They're not going to jump in your lap. Mm-hmm,
right.
And I tell people, I said, you may see a pretty girl, and you may have a girl you want to go out with, but you still have to ask her. I said, most things, opportunities didn't jump in my lap. You had to kind of go out there and go after them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said. And a good segue to the last question too, because this would have to do this, to have something like this be the pinnacle accomplishment of your life would require you to overcome any fear that you might have and trust that there's something bigger than yourself also to help you get there. So question number three is, do you have a dream that involves serving others? And that means in that context, like a stretch dream, so big that you have no idea how you can do it by yourself. You need God's help.
Yeah, if I could scale what we do day to day, that we could touch a bigger audience with, because sometimes what ends up happening is, if you think of some people that have had enormous success, and I've studied some and I've met some, I had a gentleman that had become a very big, big, super successful business person. He borrowed $900. He didn't have 900. His business ended up being sold 25 years ago for over $1 billion, and he's had major impact. And after sitting on a board with this gentleman, who's a great guy, for probably 6 years, said he's not a marketing guy, he's not a financial guy, he's not necessarily a dynamic speaker. And I tried to figure out what was his gift. Well, he's a visionary, but he was able to scale what he did. So he was able to figure out how to do what he was doing, but in a extraordinary way that he had exponential success. And so easier said than done, because many entrepreneurs never figure out how to get to that big level where they can scale. And so if there was a way that we could do what we did and somehow be able to scale it so that the impact that we were having just touched more lives and had more success. I don't know if it's a particular area. You know, sometimes people would love to be able to get on stage and be able to sing a song and have millions of people like their song, or be in a movie. I'm not an actor. I'm not a singer. So those aren't any skills or gifts that I have. But I think it's just to have more impact, to have make a bigger difference. But you know, it's okay. We'll start at one at a time, two at a time, and if the scale works, great. And if it doesn't, I think we just say, you know what, we're blessed.
Mm. Yeah. So scale in a way where the returns are exponentially more than what you could ever hope for.
Yes. There's no question. And you know, be it whatever we're doing, right? And so we work with the Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital, which we've had the opportunity, privilege and pleasure to serve as chair, honorary chair, to help raise money for sick kids and children that are suffering and their families. Many of these things are not covered. Many of these things, if it wasn't for philanthropy, could not be provided because they're expensive. And you know, this one gentleman that wrote the one quote also said something to me years ago. He said, "For every tear you wipe off a child's face is a star you light up in the sky."
Mm.
And I'd like just light up more stars up there, right? Rather than just than one star. So I think it's having more impact. I think what happens as you get older in life, purpose becomes more important. You get beyond your needs. You know, when you're younger, you're just trying to get by. You're trying to make a living. You're trying to get out of school. You're trying to figure out a career, job. Then you want to do better, and then you want to do better. And at any level of success, it's insatiable. But I think if you feel that you've made a difference and you've gone from success to significance and you've had impact, then you feel that you've accomplished more.
Mm.
So
yeah. Well, if someone were to ask you, why are you here on this earth? What's your purpose? How would you answer that?
Well, I would say the reason I'm put on this earth is just to do my small part to help my friends, help my family, help the people I interact with, make their life a little nicer, a little better, maybe just be that conduit. I'm not very good at much, but I'm pretty good at knowing who you can trust and who's good at what they do. And often we're just the facilitator. Often we're the person who makes the introduction. We share our friends with others. We share different charities with others. For us, it's just a matter. I was with a gentleman who was a big star many years ago in the 50s and the 60s. It was in 30 or 40 movies, had a number of number one hits. And we were together Friday afternoon for an hour. And then we spent quite a bit of time after the show he came in for. And he's had a fascinating life of the people that he got to meet. And I think it's really to make a difference in people's lives. You know, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a priest. I'm not a president. I'm not an ambassador. But you can be ambassadors to your faith. You can be ambassadors to your family. You can be ambassadors to your state, your country, your community. And so it, to me, at the end of the day, it's making a difference.
Well, Umberto, wonderful answer. And I can say that I can say this from myself and how you make me feel. And I see how you make others feel every time you interact with other people. And there's a common denominator because you are genuine. Like you are what my son's college football team's head coach would say. You are where your feet are. You are where your feet are. I never feel like you're somewhere else mentally when you're with me. You make me feel like you're invested in the moment and that you make me feel very special and valuable. And I think I see you make that. I see you make everyone feel that way.
I try. I, of course, fall short. My wife would tell you that.
Well, you're humble as well. So I would expect you to say that. And, but that's an endearing quality that you have. And
well, even my daughter said to me one day, Dad, how does a man with all your physical deformities have so much confidence? And I said, well, what do you mean, Joanne? And she goes, well, you don't have a lot of hair and you have a bigger stomach and you have a smaller backside. And she went through a bunch of my attributes. And then she said, you also can't do this and you can't do that. And I said, well, at some point in life, you're just comfortable with who you are.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to be somebody else.
Yeah.
And maybe that takes a sense of maturity. Maybe that takes a sense of humility. Maybe that takes a sense of failure in life. And sometimes you just accept people. And it makes life a lot easier if we just accept people because we're all packages.
Amen. Well said. Well, that's a great place to end this. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Anytime. It's my pleasure and my privilege and my honor. And appreciate you asking me to do it, Mark.
Well, thank you, Umberto.
Thank you.